Good morning. All right, it's a live Wednesday morning show for us just after 6 a.m. Yes, 26th of March. Where's this year going? We've got April coming up, which is, of course, pockmarked with holidays. So get ready for those. I'm already seeing people starting to make these outrageous plans about how many days they're going to get off because of all the public holidays. You can get, I don't know, 3 weeks, basically, if you just take 7 days off in patches. And people have done that. They've been crafty. If you've left it to now, tough titties. It's not going to happen for you. All right, we got a lovely day ahead of us. And the reason I say that is because we have the excellent and tremendous and powerful Chris Forrest here with us this morning. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be described as what? Excellent and powerful. Something
and powerful. Tremendous, yeah. Yes, you don't think that's true?
Well, not at 6 in the morning, but I'll take it. And I just want to say I get all the days off in April. That's the joy of being self-employed.
So self-employed,
unemployed, whatever. If you're unemployed, you get a lot of time off.
But this is the whole problem with being either self-employed, unemployed, or being an employer, is that you don't love public holidays because you derive zero benefit from them.
No, you just have to spend extra money on
all the other people or whatever
else. For your children or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Little parasites
who still know, they know it's me, but they still pretend there's a bunny involved.
What age is it appropriate for you and for them to look each other in the eyes and go, listen, I know you know, and this bullshit's going to stop now?
Well, I don't know, because we still do that thing. you know, like, I don't know if you remember, like, there was a series called Friends many years ago.
I remember Friends. I'm probably older than you even.
No, you're not. Monica and what was his name? Chandler were seeing each other. And then, like, they found out, but it was like, I know that you know that I know that you know. And that was Christmas for us this year. The kids they wrote the letters to Santa. And then I had to pretend to go and put, you know, if you're a parent, you know, you go and pretend to post it. And then actually you stick it in your back pocket and then you read it in secret.
Yes.
And then they knew that it's us.
Yeah.
But they still were like, this is my letter for Santa.
Sure. Because there's an extra present in it.
And then they do like stupid things like that. Oh, I wonder why Santa's footprints in the snow taste like flour.
They've done all the research.
And then this year they tasted like talcum powder. But anyway, I don't know why they're tasting the powder.
What are these children of yours doing? Aren't they getting enough food?
Investigating, apparently. But we still had to be there.
And you just watch out with them and cocaine. It's going to be a big problem.
Well,
any white powder, they seem to just go straight for the fucking tongue.
If Santa's footprints are in cocaine, they are getting cock presents that year. I'm just saying.
If Santa's footprints are in cocaine, Santa is
going to
give them
whatever the hell they want. That's all I'm saying.
That's insane.
But then you give credit to this dude and you've spent it. Anyway, I'm okay. Morning, everyone.
Okay, but this is the problem, right? And I haven't got kids. I know lots of people who do, and some of them are tremendous parents who do all the hard work. They especially when the kids are young, you have to fulfill that fantasy of that there's this reward for being a good kid all year.
Yeah.
And there's this magical man who lives in the North Pole who brings you a present that only you and he know about. It's very cool. I believed in it for, I don't know, about 6 or 7 years easily.
Oh, mine was ruined, though.
What happened to you?
I went to a church. I don't want to say which one. But so we were at Rhema. And the pastor was like, there is no Santa, kids. God is Santa.
All right. So,
different mythical being.
I don't know.
But anyway,
first of all,
I don't want to ruin it for people who still believe in it.
Yeah. Of course, there's a 5-year-old right now who's a major fan of the show, who's just gone, I'm here for the politics, but did you have to ruin Santa for me? I do like when you go on a rant about communism, but you know, this Santa stuff, why did you have to go and spoil that?
Go there.
I don't get why any adult would take pleasure in ruining any of that stuff for a kid. I do remember, though, that there was a point when we were driving to friends of ours in the Free State. We were all still kids. My sister was 9 years younger than me. And my mother sort of casually turned around and passed me a note that said, because it was Easter, it was around this time of year, you've got to tell your sister that there is no Easter Bunny. But she passes me a note.
She got you to do it.
Very bad idea. Okay, very bad idea.
Yes.
So I kind of look at the note. And you know how when you're on a family car trip somewhere and you're not really, you would actually, I don't know if I was reading a book or I was looking out of the window and trying to make shapes of the clouds or whatever. And this disturbed my equilibrium.
Yes.
So I look at my little sister. I don't know. She must have been about 7. And I think, what am I going to say to her? Because I'm not a sensitive guy, but I'm kind of thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
So I turn to her and I go, you know, it was in the news yesterday. The Easter Bunny got hit by a truck. It's dead.
Isn't that worse than
he's gone? It was, and it's a bad example. That's why I'm saying you shouldn't do what I do, and you shouldn't do what that pastor at Rhema did to you and told you that there's no Father Christmas. There's just God, because as far as I can tell, God takes presents. He doesn't give presents. You remember the gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Those eggs had to travel all the way from the east and to give that. He didn't go, and here for all of you. I mean, eternal life, sure. Well,
no, I mean,
sinlessness and all that stuff.
Fishes and loaves and stuff. But he kept the gold and frankincense and myrrh.
Who wants the myrrh?
I don't even know what myrrh is.
Persuaded that might have been not such a big deal.
What do you do with myrrh? Let us know.
Well,
Santa's a communist.
Myrrh. Santa's a communist, unpaid workforce, and he's dressed in red. Yeah, it's something to worry about, Chris.
Actually, I would venture that he's more capitalist than you know. Do you know why he dresses in red? It's because Coca-Cola sponsored his,
exactly.
His suit. Yeah, he used to be green, sponsors. And then they were like, hey, Coca-Cola. And
he's got
like,
corporate sponsors. Yeah. That's hilarious. The whole North Pole is just full of branding.
Yeah. That's how the elves, you know, they used to have cocaine in Coca-Cola. That went back in his day. That's where the coca comes from. True story.
Yeah. I wish I'd been around in those days.
So maybe his footprints were. That's the elves. They're up working all the time.
This is where I just don't get it. Make it really expensive, but people would buy that stuff.
Totally.
I mean, Coca-Cola, just let them keep the fat-making drink that they've got at the moment. But they can make another version. They can sell to very rich people who don't have enough energy.
There you go.
You can say to them, here's this one.
My
Coca-Cola Black, you know?
Friend Warren Robertson, he always says, so when your grandfather says he walked 20 miles to school, now you know how.
That's right. He was on cocaine.
There you go. He had the energy.
Oh, man. How old are your kids now?
9 and 12.
Okay. It's time for them to hear that the Easter Bunny was in an accident.
No, they know. They'll drop little bombs every now and then because you're still pretending.
Yeah.
And then my eldest one goes, Dad, but I thought you bought the Easter eggs. And you're like, what? Nothing?
And these Easter eggs are not cheap things anymore, especially the anything other than those boxes with all the marshmallow ones.
Yes, which I find out is a uniquely South African product.
Is it? Is it really?
Yeah, my mate came over from the UK and the other one from Switzerland, and they were like all excited, and their kids were like, what are these things? And they're like, this is what we grew up on.
Yeah. Those are the ones that I remember more than any
other.
This
is the taste of sanctions, guys.
Yeah, but you know that you get those very, very elaborate, expensive, and they make the lint ones now.
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine how many little children in Santon's dreams don't involve just any old marshmallow egg? It has to be the lint one.
Give that kid a lint one or just a normal one and see if they can tell the difference.
They can't. You and I could probably.
Yes.
I mean, you could. You're a bit of a gourmand, I remember.
Well,
still are.
I the difference, if you taste, it's expensive when you buy the one.
Can you taste the expensive? Is that what you're
saying? No, because it's actually lint is like a few times refined.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So it's delicious.
Oh my God.
Don't get me wrong.
You know, I made the mistake the other day. I'm not a chocolate guy at all. I'm much more of a like savory sort of snacker. But I made the mistake the other day of buying one of those little red bars that they make with only about they're about 6 blocks there, right? Maybe 5 even. Feels like you're being ripped off. Always does. And you think, I'll just have one piece of this.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have to have a piece as you make the monthly payment for it.
But you can't. You have to do the whole thing. And then you're like, why didn't I buy 3 of these? And then you think, oh, well, because you'd be looking in the mirror Augustus Gloop.
Yes.
And you'd be a big fat monster. If those things were, if they were plentiful in my house, they wouldn't last very long.
Yeah.
Just stay away. I've realized the best thing for when you are trying to lose weight is A, don't ever go and shop when you're hungry. So you must have on that day that you, I go to the shops if I can once a week or less. On that day, have a good full breakfast. And then when you get there, you're like, this big greasy breakfast. I don't know if I want to buy any of this stuff. And you don't, because I go with a list, but then the list is the stuff I'm going to forget about. And then when it comes to food, I'm mostly okay. I go to the veggies and the fruit and the, you know, maybe buy some pasta, stuff like that. But if I'm really not hungry, I'll buy only very healthy food, which is excellent.
No, and because that's the thing for me. My willpower is great in the shop.
Yeah.
I'll decline everything. But if that stuff is home, then that is getting in my belly.
Okay. So tell me, when last, I think we caught up on this show, you were a full-time chef, a full-time comedian, full-time dad, all of those things.
Very busy. Yes. Yeah.
You still are.
I don't think I've ever been a full-time chef.
Well, I mean.
Because chefs need more respect, in my opinion.
Okay, well then, you're an expert cook.
Well, I've got the qualification. I've just never worked.
So then don't deny it. What are you doing? You want me to...
No, but a full-time, like, these guys work their asses off in restaurants and whatever. I just...
Oh, please. You think that these famous celebrity chefs work? They don't. They film a TV show.
No, not those ones. But I mean,
they call themselves chefs. So they,
I suppose. You're allowed. Fair enough. But I'm always very, what's the word? Like to qualify as a chef, you study your ass off. Then you work as a commis chef or whatever for sort of long hours, 10 to 12 hours, and you get paid next to nothing.
Aren't you? You're the one who told me about that French chef appellation that you get, but you only get it if you can do 100 things with an egg.
Oh no, that's the folds in your hat.
The folds in the hat
are the ones that represent the different things you can do with an egg.
You told me that.
I don't know if I did.
I think you did.
But it's
a real thing, huh?
But do you know why the head chefs wear that hat? No. Just because if you're in a big kitchen, you need to ask the head chef things, and you need to be able to see where he is. So the hat shows you. You can look and be like, "There's the hat."
Yeah, because it's not. You wouldn't wear it outside of the kitchen. Let's put it that way. It's not a fashion statement.
No, I don't think you're gonna walk down the street with it unless you just want to pretend that you're a chef.
What's the what's your favorite thing to make at the moment? Is there anything that you absolutely love doing?
I just love a braai.
Oh, dude. Oh, man. I'm so pleased you said that. People come up with some cordon bleu bullshit that is so complicated to make that you have to start roasting something at like 6 a.m. And
no. Well, actually, funny enough, a braai, but I've become completely obsessed with smoking.
Oh, yeah. This
as
is,
in
this
meat, is not as in. But so
I've, you buy the sawdust and everything that you need for that? What is it that you buy for it? Certain kind of wood?
It's frowned upon by the smoking community, but I still use the chips. You can use the blocks or whatever, but I've got what you call a hero smoker. So it's like almost a barrel. I have done that thing where I've started a brisket on Friday night so that it can be ready to serve Saturday night.
That's fantastic. Is that kind of brisket that the meat to fall from the bone?
That's the one, yeah.
Shit, that sounds good.
That's amazing.
Okay. Yeah. You see, I'm not even a foodie, but when I talk to you about this stuff, it somehow feels a lot more interesting because you know what you're talking about. I don't talk food with some other restaurant goer.
Well, dude, as long as they're fat enough, you know they.
Ugh, well, let's not talk about that. Jesus. I've got such a weird relationship with the idea of fat people and the actual fat people. Like there are actual fat people that I know that I don't think of as fat, even though they are.
Yeah.
And then to me, fat people are this group of people I've never met that I have no connection with.
They're just fat.
That are just fat that I have such ire for and that I can't be nice to because they don't, this is in my mind, right? They don't project self-respect themselves. So why should I? And then when there's someone in my life who might be, I mean, like there's this one friend of mine, she's big, but I don't think of her as fat. I just create this wall in my head. I compartmentalize everything.
But it's kind of a weird thing. Like I say this, and I can say these things because I'm a fat person.
Overweight, like, or there's a huge difference between that and fat. Go on.
But people, I remember during lockdown, people were so concerned, like, because everyone was putting on weight. Like, yeah. If you didn't put on weight, you weren't doing it properly.
Well, they wouldn't let us walk, run, anything.
Also, like, you were making banana bread or whatever
comfort
it was
food
that everybody made. And then there was this thing on Facebook where people were like, don't put it on social media that you're worried about becoming fat because your fat friends will be offended that your biggest fear is looking like them. And I was like, no, we're not offended. We're just glad we've got company now. Like, come and join us, because you know what? It's all about what's the thing is, yeah, is like a bell curve thing. If we're all fat, then we're more likely to get laid.
Adele really fucked the fat community in the eye when she...
I think everyone... Oh, sorry.
When she became thin, because suddenly, you know, they'd all said to, oh, you're beautiful just the way you are, honey. Don't worry. You don't have to lose weight. We love you. Yeah, keep your tits big and your stomach big and all that stuff. And then suddenly she goes away for a couple of months. She comes back and she's like looking svelte and thin. And
yeah, and there's more pain in her singing now.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
no, because I mean, like, we've got a certain thing that's his body shaming. Whatever, like, body shaming is not the enemy of fat people. It's stairs. Stairs are our enemy. Like, far more offensive to me is if you are on the third floor and I have to climb up.
Well, there is a lift, but I don't ever use it.
Ah, because is that your exercise for the day?
I just think if it's less than two floors, you use the stairs.
And that's good. It's good for your heart. Good for
I went to the gym the other day and the lift wasn't working. And it was a gym I don't usually go to. So it was six floors up. And I was at the top. I was like, well, that's my gym for the day. I'm going to leave now.
Because I never get that. Like, I watch people at the gym who I used to go to one in Cresta. And people would get in a lift for one floor and then go on the stair machine.
Yeah.
Like, guys, you're here.
I've got a staircase in my house, so I sometimes wear the watch. But even if you have your phone, it counts your steps, right? And I realized how much I walk around in my own house. I'm easily getting up to 5,000-6,000 steps if I don't even leave the house.
Yeah.
So I'm moving around a lot in there.
No, because I also find – anyway. I get
compulsive wanking. Does it give you?
I was trying to be subtle about it. No, I was
shake. There's no such thing as subtlety here. You should know this. All right, so let's just remind people, because this is actually a very, very cool thing. Back in 2014, which feels like eons ago, that was when you won that Celebrity MasterChef, right?
I did.
Yeah,
I did. I mean, I try and bring it up in every conversation.
And more important than that, you did beat Patricia Lewis in the final.
That is more important.
Way more important. She's fun, though. People say, especially if they don't know her or they only know her from, like, the terrible songs that she made in, I don't know, the 90s or whatever.
But don't say that. She made terrible songs throughout her career.
Yeah.
Sorry, Patricia.
But she's got a great sense of humor.
No, she's lucky.
And she's actually lots of fun. She lives in, like, Belito now or something.
Yeah, she does. She married a very smart man.
Yeah.
Who spotted the, like, sort of property trends before they became trends.
He's a property dude.
And he's they do well for them. Oh, I shouldn't be saying that.
Yeah, no,
anyway, they've done very well.
Well, good for
he's
them.
A smart people.
I love it. It's amazing how you meet people who've just carved out a little niche in somewhere and they've just made tons of money. And then you look at others and you think, why are we all struggling so?
Well, yeah, there's that. You're like, how are you employed?
Why?
No, but I mean, she is. She kind of for the public plays the kind of
the ditzy blonde. But I mean, a lot of people still think she's
smart.
People think she's Afrikaans, which she isn't.
No,
she put that whole thing on the long blonde hair and the what are they called?
The move.
What are those things called again?
Oh, the extensions.
Extensions. That's right. A girl I know told me the other day, yeah, I've got extensions in. I'm like, I wouldn't, I don't know.
I would get an extension if I could, but I don't think it exists.
Oh, I mean, there's no point, right? Yeah. So what is this crap I hear? My producer told me that you've got a hole in your head.
I do have a hole in my head.
What the fuck happened, man?
So
that's big news.
It's not really. I'd started developing a bump on my head, and my kids thought it was awesome. They're like, yeah, you're becoming a unicorn. No, they didn't. But then I went to the doctor, and he looked at it, and he said, you've got a I'll educate everyone here, because if you get a bump, don't mess around. He said, you've got a basal cell carcinoma.
Oh God, that's cancer, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but is it malignant or benign?
It is malignant, but
Jesus, that means it'll spread.
But it is the nice one, apparently. And then I went
localized.
And then I went to the plastic surgeon. His name's Dr. Slubbert. He was amazing, but he's used to like very serious people, and he forgets comedians handle serious by making jokes. So I was asking him questions like, "Will my hair grow after you've taken it out?" And he looked at my bald ass head, and he was like, "What?" And then I went through a few of these things, but he looked at it. He said, "It's not actually a basal cell; it's a squamous carcinoma, which is actually worse." So I leveled
up. That's a terrible word, though. Squamous, doesn't it? It sounds
like as you penetrate. That's the sound it makes. Squamous. Anyway, so it turns out it was a bit worse than basal cell. It's not the bad one. The bad one is melanoma.
Yeah.
But it's so this one apparently is like
a form of skin cancer.
Yeah. So it's what
so it wasn't like brain.
No, not brain.
But they've cut this thing out. So you've obviously
because it like burrows down into your skull and you've got to get it cut out. Otherwise, it goes the whole way down. Yeah. He said it's like a rat. That's how he described it. I said to him, Doc, I feel like this operation, like a hole in my head. And then he eventually got that I was kidding about stuff.
Took this doctor a while to realize that this is what you've done for a living.
He kind of chuckles when he sees me now. He's awesome. But yeah, so you have to cut it out, and then you have to cut 5 mils around it as well. Yes. Apparently mine was a little bit worse, so they had to cut a little bit more. I asked them if I could keep it, but they wouldn't let me.
Oh, yeah, because it's like a part of you that's gone gone.
Put it in the jar there next to the kids' tonsils.
Yeah, you could have had it in a bit of formaldehyde there and just reminded them, that's my other brain, it's watching you.
Looks like an eye.
That's horrific, though. I mean, all right now?
Everything's fine.
Gone?
So they're very good. They have a pathologist in the theater while you're asleep.
Yeah, they check.
They check right away. That was actually how they knew it was slightly worse, and they said, take out more.
How long had this thing been growing before you realized it needed to come out?
About 2 weeks, maybe three.
Shit, that's quick, eh?
Yeah, so at first I just thought I had like a little scab or something because I hit my head on stuff a lot. Mm. It's weird when you lose your hair. I don't know if everybody suffers this thing.
Hair is like a helmet, especially if you got one of those big 80s hairstyles with lots of hairspray like a lot of the girls do, yeah.
But no, sadly, mine's thinned a little bit.
So hang on. You have it for 2 weeks and then you go to the doctor.
Yes.
And the doctor's like, we need to get this thing out now.
Correct.
So this all happened, and then they take a piece of your head like that out? I mean, like a 1 rand, two rand?
Roughly.
Like, what are we talking?
So basically what happens is you get this thing on your head, and then you go, oh, it's fine. And your wife goes, don't be an idiot. Go to the doctor. Yeah. And that's a fair impression of her, if you know her. And when she does the impression of me, she goes, ooh, blah, blah, blah.
I met your wife. She doesn't sound like that at all, actually, but all right.
So you go to the doctor, and then what first happened was, like, we all hear the C word, and we're like, stop calling me a cunt. And so
it's especially hard when your kids call you that.
Well, it's when the doctor says it to you. You're like, hey, man. So you hear the C word, and you get a bit nervous, and he's like, you've got to get this thing done quickly. And then I phoned the guy that he recommended, and that guy was like, yeah, I can see you at the end of April. And I was like, that's great. But I don't want to do that. So I actually ended up, you know how medical aid works. I had to pay in a little bit to see this other guy.
Yeah.
And then he was super cool. As I said, I can't say enough cool things about him, Dr. Slubbert. He had a good chuckle. He cut it out. Now he takes a skin graft. Originally, it was going to be from your neck, from my neck. And then it was, I don't know if you've ever had this, but I was asleep under anesthesia, and I woke up and a nurse handed me my jocks in a bag. And I was like, oh, maybe I got some. And then it turns out they just had to get a skin graft from my leg instead.
Why did they take it from there?
I think the thing was bigger than they thought. So take it from the neck would have been too big.
Right.
I don't know. I didn't ask questions.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, this could happen to anybody because it's a...
Well, that's the thing. So
you went to the dermatologist, obviously, a skin thing. Or did you just go to the GP?
Went to the GP.
Okay, the GP referred.
And then he said, go to a plastic surgeon. And then what's interesting to me, so I did a bit of research on it. So basically wear sunscreen, guys. Baz Luhrmann wasn't
right.
But obviously I didn't wear sunscreen on my head. I'm a ginger. You can't tell, but I'm ginger where it counts. So you wear sunscreen, otherwise you're going to get these things. But it's what I did 20 years ago.
Wow, and it's suddenly come home to roost.
But here's what I found fascinating. So ginger people are more prone to these things. Yeah. But black people also get them.
Yeah.
But we get them in areas exposed to the sun. Mm-hmm. Whereas black guys tend to get them in like their armpits or underneath your scrotum.
Jesus,
water.
Flex, we better check you out after the show.
I don't want to be the one checking under your scrotum, to be honest.
No, James will.
Oh, okay. Fine. Just if you've got any bumps down there. Well, that's what you tell your wife you're looking for.
So that's interesting. So if you're black, you will get skin cancer as well, just like white people do in the same kind of frequency,
but in
different parts of your body.
In places that aren't exposed to the sun.
Wow.
How weird is that? Why does that?
That's fascinating. I'd never heard that before.
It was on Wikipedia, so it must be true.
Well.
They never lie.
But do you feel the temptation? I mean, you said you went and researched this. Whenever it's on your head, you immediately think worst case scenario, right? Even if it's just a subliminal thing, it's on the top of your head, but you immediately think, "Oh my God, what if it's coming from inside?"
No, I didn't
the head. I would have thought that. I would have thought, "Oh no, it's the alien. It's a
it's got a tumor
the guy's stomach."
Oh yeah, like, that'd be. No, I didn't think
no,
that.
No,
didn't. I actually just like.
I think there's a little alien living in my head. I'm telling you, he's actually in charge of me. I'm just the meat vehicle, and he's sitting there with gears. And he's like, turn the large creature this way.
I got vaccinated, so Bill Gates is running my life right now. Right. He's not doing a great job.
Is he using the 5G to give you instructions?
If he is, he's doing a cock job of it. Sort your shit out, Bill.
That's insane. All right, so let's talk about a couple of things that are going on here quickly. This is quite interesting. Apparently... Now, do you remember this story about the 18-carat gold toilet that was at Blenheim Palace in England?
No, I don't, but this sounds good.
There was an 18-carat gold toilet that was valued at £5 million that was installed as an art exhibit in Blenheim Palace. It wasn't to be used.
Right, okay.
It was just put there as part of an installation of various artworks. And this golden lavatory, which was designed, it was called America. There it is. Look at it.
Did anyone look at it and make the terrible joke because it popped into my head that that's taking the piss? Anyway, no. Okay.
But look at how you're shitty the rest of the bathroom looks. I mean, I guess, you know, this is in Blenheim Palace, which is the house that Churchill grew up in. Well, he was born in.
All right.
It's owned by the Duke of Marlborough, and it's a magnificent sort of Baroque pile that was paid for by Queen Anne as a reward to the first Duke of Marlborough for winning the Battle of Blenheim against King Louis XIV.
Right.
So it's a beautiful, opulent palace. I mean, it's magnificent. Find a picture, if you can, of Blenheim Palace. And then you have that horrible little room, which looks like it's in a round, curved space. It doesn't even look like it has a window in it. Got that cheap floor that they put in like toilets in places where there's a lot of traffic, like shopping malls.
Yeah. Is it a permanent art?
No, well, I think it was installed. There was a loo in that room, but they turned the room into an installation, as I understand it. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, I think they could have done more with the rest of the room, especially in a palace. You know, if that was in like a house in Randburg, I'd say fine. But you wouldn't find a gold toilet in a house in Randburg. They stole this thing and...
They stole it.
The thieves used sledgehammers and crowbars to remove the satirical artwork, causing significant flooding. And despite careful planning, forensic evidence, and CCTV footage, they did manage to find some kind of trail. They didn't find the guys who did it, though. The stolen toilet was never recovered, is believed to have been cut up and sold. James Sheen, who orchestrated the theft, and Fred Doe, who helped launder the gold, were also convicted, while a fourth suspect was acquitted. So
they did catch the guys.
They eventually convicted them this week, which is why it's in the news. Michael Jones and his accomplices. Would have to be a guy called Michael Jones.
Michael Jones.
What are you doing this weekend, Mike? Oh, we'll go steal a toilet. That's what we'll do.
Toilet. But if there was, I mean, that must have been plumbed in and everything.
Yeah, it was. It was, you could have used it. I mean, I'd love to have known the occasion.
It must have been cold. I mean, it's the UK and it's metal.
Look, there's Blenheim. Isn't that nice?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Quite a nice place to live. Huh?
Well, it's no Randburg, but I mean.
Yeah, but that room looks like it should be in Randburg. Show the room again with the loo in it. Because that, yeah, you see? Look at that. I mean,
it's got like a little.
That could be a Centurion shopping mall.
Is that like a bin where you throw your paper?
Yeah,
after
but I mean, they could have made that pretty as well. I don't know if that's. Look at the loo roll holder. That's just.
Yeah,
ugly.
So what I think really irritates me about that is the bin where you, after you've dried your hands, after you've washed them. What's the point of that? Like, we've been to the UK. We know none of them do it.
No, they don't. What was that that show? Sex Education. It was that show on TV.
Yes,
five years ago.
The Netflix.
Yeah, and there was that line that the one guy had about wash your hands, or what was the thing that he said? Someone in the audience will know. Do you think they got caught when they got chat on? What do you think?
I think it's the other way around. Do you think they got chat on after they got caught?
Yeah, a bit slow on the uptake there. Sorry, it's still early. Ah. Okay, so here. I was just talking to you before we started the show this morning about the spam emails that I get every single day. Hi, I work with the lottery.
Yes.
I've got to park this 25.5 million rand somewhere. Can we just use your account to put it in? In the meantime, you're welcome to keep the interest and we'll get it back in 3 months. But we just need to put it
there. Give me your banking details and ID number.
And of course, you know, it's bullshit. But you said, you know, being in South Africa, you actually don't know for a fact whether that is.
It could be true.
It could well be true.
I love those ones. I get the ones that say there's a tender going.
Yeah. They say, well, we know that you've been in the bidding process. And I'm like, really? When?
No, we're looking for 1 million pairs of boots.
Yeah.
Submit all your details and you could be the one supplying them.
And you're tempted at that moment.
Every single time. Like
I phone up a friend who has a gumboot factory.
Yeah, you never fall for the like Nigerian prince ones. But what's that? You want me to supply boots? I could do that. But my other favorites are those ones that say we hacked your laptop.
Yeah, we know what's on in your porn folder.
We filmed you watching your porn. We hacked in your camera and we filmed you while you were watching.
Yeah.
But now, so I won't mention names necessarily, but because I always love those. What's his name? The good things guy, Brent Lindekube, put a thing on yesterday, and I genuinely replied to the dude. I was like, please release my video because I could do with the exposure.
This is your Kim Kardashian moment.
Yeah, I'm going to break the internet. He hasn't yet, so I assume he's just doing some last-minute editing and sound design. But
who, Brent Lindekube or this crook?
This crook. Okay. When he said my laptop, I wasn't too worried. If he'd said my phone, I would have been like, "Whoa, you're going to see some things." But what really made me laugh was, because we all know it's a scam.
Yeah, of course.
But I have a friend who's in IT.
Yeah.
And there's an old auntie who was married to a guy who used to run a business.
Hmm.
And he passed away. But this, my friend in IT still helps her out with stuff because he was friends with a guy who used to run a business.
Right.
And she got this message and she got hold of him and she's like, dude, I can't have this video getting out. But she's like in her 60s.
Shame she thinks it's real.
Yeah, but I mean, that just means there's this 60-year-old widower who had some fun in front of her laptop who just doesn't want that.
Oh my God. Can you imagine what she's been watching?
We would talk about fat people. She's not skinny. Oh, man. Well, I would love to see what she's into.
Well, before the husband died, who knows what they watched together.
Well, there you go. You
know, or there she was going to town on herself. Yeah. Who knows what kind of stuff was turning her on.
But I suppose, I don't know why I think it's weird. Because, I mean, I assume all men until they die.
Oh, definitely.
Are still choking.
Oh, for sure. And you hear these stories, I'm sure you have too, of old age homes and how badly behaved.
Apparently, chlamydia is rife.
Apparently, these old age homes are just like bordellos.
Well, I've got to say, I got turned down a lot. So I don't know if those stories are true.
If anybody's feeling like they don't get enough action, just wait till you're 80.
Yeah, okay? There you go.
Just wait until they wheel you in.
What's that old joke where the woman catches her boyfriend cheating in the old age home and she says, "What has she got that I don't have?" And he goes, "Parkinson's."
Welcome to the Alice Stevenson Home for Seniors. Your first day is going to be about what meals you get and what room you have to stay in. The second day, we will all go to the library together. And the third day, you'll all pump each other's brains out.
Can you imagine? Swingers club.
Can you imagine that? It's a weird thing in old age home. Huh? It's never a happy place. I never think of old age homes. James, there's something on the screen there that's in the way.
Besides that, it says,
I once had a scammer send me pictures of a knob and said, "I know you are a lawyer. Send me money or I will share and ruin you." The thing was huge. I didn't pay, hoping he would share it, but the idiot refused. yeah. But old age homes, that's not a, you know, getting to the stage where I'm thinking about, you know, there are a lot of my parents' friends who are approaching that age. My parents are in their 70s and they're like, don't ever go to an old age home. I say to them, don't ever go to an old age home. They say to me, don't worry, we won't.
But there's this like new thing where my parents live.
No.
This really bothered me. It's not an old age home. It's like a retirement village.
Yes. There's quite a lot of those.
So it's like a townhouse complex.
Right. But it's just old people.
It's just old people. The qualifying age is 50.
No.
Think about how close you are to qualifying to live
in a retirement village.
Yeah.
Well, James Flex, you better get my wheelchair ready. It's just about time.
It's not wheelchair friendly. You need a Zimmer, though.
Zimmer frame. This is my wheelchair. Watch you wheel me around in this.
I quite
like that. I wouldn't mind being wheeled around. Those people always get preferential treatment on planes and airports, things like that. They do.
I have a mate.
You're carried around. I mean,
I'm trying not to name drop here, but he organizes concerts.
Yes.
And he told me about like the miracle of pop music because he said because the wheelchair people get the fronts.
get their own area.
And then shamelessly afterwards, he said there would be wheelchairs left behind. So obviously they got healed by the power of Brian Adams or whatever.
That's amazing. Imagine the massive cojones you have to go to a thing, bullshit people that you're. And I think a lot of these people on the planes, I've always said, you can tell the real cripples from the people who are just, they want the special treatment. It's like a hypochondria almost.
Yeah.
You know, these people, it's particularly older women. It's like a Munchausen's thing where they get attention when they're sick. It's the only time the family pay attention to them. So it's the same with people who, if they feign a disability, then, you know, someone will say, "Oh, shame, can I push you in your wheelchair?" And that's only because they're such unpleasant people that no one will talk to them the rest of the time. And then they get wheeled onto the plane or they get wheeled around the airport or they get, you know, put in a special queue or they feel special for a little while. That's why they do it. But there's actually nothing wrong with them. Like, okay, so she walks a bit slowly. But she doesn't need a wheelchair. I'm telling you, if you checked on a plane, if you like took those the hammers that the doctor uses on your knee that gives the reflex kick, if you did that with half those people, they'd kick.
You don't even need to do that. You just shout fire.
Oh yeah. And they'll get up and
run. See how quickly they get up and run.
All right, so we're talking about scamming, but this is a serious warning now. Public service announcement, everybody. Sabric has warned of that's not a brick company.
Right.
South African Banking Bureau, Regulation, something or another. They've warned of a rise in AI-driven banking scams in South Africa, including deepfake videos. Now you have to worry about that.
Well, I mean, you're quite famous. So you might have, there might be a Gareth Cliff video out there going, I made
500 billion on crypto.
500 billion?
Yeah.
On this crypto what?
Well, let me say this to Cameron now so the deep fake AI can get it properly. I do not have 500 billion rand.
Okay. No, but go with something different. Like I made 700 million investing in Cliff Central. You too.
Yes.
I think
join
I,
me.
Did I sound like Elon Musk there for a second? He's got that.
A little bit. He sort of has. I can't do his accent yet. I heard Dana Carvey on Bill Maher's show the other day. God, he's brilliant. He can do any impersonation. And it's not just the way he sounds. He takes on the mannerisms.
Yeah.
He actually gets into the person. He crawls right into the center of them, finds the thing that makes them them, and then does it.
Yeah.
That's why he was so good at doing almost any impersonation of the world.
Yeah.
But he did an Elon. My Elon's crap. I can't. So we've got to go to Mars. And
Elon became a British royal suddenly.
I can't do it. I've still got to work on the Elon one. But he is different. I did hear, so Dana Carvey does this thing where he goes, no, Bobby Kennedy, there's nothing wrong with him. He doesn't have a voice, you know, he's got this this vocal cord problem, some autoimmune disease or whatever it was. And he goes, he's not doing that. It's just the same thing that happens when someone takes a really big, like, joint and then they smoke, like, they take a big puff of a big joint and they go, I don't really know what to do with the pharmaceutical companies and all that kind of thing. And he says, he doesn't miss a beat. He goes, if only he could get an AI version of like JFK to get the Kennedy charisma back in his voice. And then you can, and you go, I do not want us to fall prey to the pharmaceutical companies. We do these things not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Fucking great.
Buy crypto.
You wouldn't get the reference because you guys are like 17 or whatever. What, John F. Kennedy? You know who John F. Kennedy is? Okay.
You know, right. Well, obviously there's an airport named after him. He was on The Simpsons a little bit.
He was on The Simpsons? That's Mayor.
No, but I remember that it was like a piss take of him.
Yeah, what was the mayor in The Simpsons called? Because he also sounded like a Kennedy.
Yeah, I think it was... The soothsayers of our generation.
Yeah, so the JFK files, it's not, you should know about this anyway. It's in the news, right? The JFK files came out last week, and what did they say? Lee Harvey Oswald.
Really? So it was nothing? I didn't even know that. That's how, I mean, it was late.
There's nothing more. There's so
no
for conspiracy,
FBI, conspiracy.
No, so for conspiracy theorists, it's been a bit of a fucking bad time because. I mean, COVID was the big conspiracy for them, and they were like flying high. They were like, "Ah, this is all bullshit."
People are still like, I mean, social media is the worst place in the world.
Oh yeah, you don't
it's completely
the truth
made the world a cucker place.
Yeah,
but there's people who are still like putting anti-vax messages on or pro-vax. And it's like, guys, that was 5 years ago.
But
like,
also, just do your own thing.
We're all alive.
Yeah, and well, we're not all. There are a lot of people who are not, but also it was just blown out of proportion by people who were anti, people who were pro, and I'm just pissed off at the government and the scientists. But to go back to JFK for a second, the story there is that, you know, finally we get to see that the CIA was involved in a bunch of very, very dodgy things to do with Cuba.
Yeah, well, we always knew that.
Yeah, so none of it is particularly revelatory. There's nothing new in it that you'd go, I didn't know that, and that proves there was a shooter on the grassy knoll. And you know, anyone who watched that,
was it Harrison Ford? Was it who was in it?
No, Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner
in the JFK Oliver Stone movie. Which, by the way, if you haven't seen it, I mean, I don't know what
the magic bullet theory.
Yeah, what rock you've been under? But back into the left. Back into the left. Jackie, just pass me back into the left.
Wasn't there like an Eddie Murphy sketch with that as well?
I don't know. Eddie Murphy's, he's just got to be the king forevermore. That guy just has to walk onto a stage and I start
laughing. He's hilarious. But yes, back into the left.
So that was it. They say one shooter. They say there wasn't another person on the grassy knoll.
Then why did this would be my question. Why did they keep the file hidden or covered up for so long, if it was exactly what they've always been saying.
I mean, there's pages and pages and pages. People have written volumes of books on this stuff. There's so much material, not just the Zapruder film, you know, which gets the starring role.
Yes.
Abraham Zapruder standing there near the grassy knoll. But you know, the old cameras, the car comes really slowly past, but it's sort of, and here it comes.
You can see President Kennedy in the back on the right hand side of the car, and next to him is First Lady Jacqueline Bisset Kennedy, or whatever her name was.
And
In the front is Governor
whatever of Texas, who also got shot. Nobody's fucking crying about him, by the way. Yeah. I don't see, they don't call it the governor. You see, we don't even know his name. Governor, what's his name?
From Texas.
Yeah. The governor of Texas. If you want to disappear from history.
Did he die? I mean, this is how much I know.
I think he did. Just look it up.
Like, his family must really hate the Kennedys then.
Well, yeah, because if you want to disappear from history, just get shot on the same day as someone much more important than you. People will just forget you even existed.
Oh.
Governor, look the guy up. What's his name? Governor Connolly.
Also, while you're at it, make a list. I just remembered.
Governor Connolly.
Make a list of people who are less important than
you. Let me check here.
Hang out with them.
I want to see Governor Colin Connolly. Yeah, there we go. Let me just see here, because I'm telling you, he died as well. No, he didn't. He died in 1993.
Okay, yeah, you see.
I apologize, John Connolly. I thought you were dead on the same day. He was governor of Texas from 63 to 69.
Did he get shot, though?
Yeah, he did get shot.
I mean, that's a great after-dinner story.
That Connolly was riding in the presidential limousine when Kennedy was assassinated, and he was seriously wounded. Yeah. So, but he died in 1993. Yeah. Okay. So, good innings. So, apologies to the Connolly family.
Yeah. But I mean, still, he did get shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. I think he got shot through the wrist or something, which has got to suck, especially if that's your arm.
There's no videos of him.
No, there's no videos of him doing that stuff. All right. So apparently these scammers are using deep fakes. They're using voice cloning, fake apps. The other thing that I've been seeing an increase in recently, maybe it's just me, is whenever a delivery company, a courier company,
yes,
they're doing a lot of that stuff. But I always go and check the email address.
But I mean, that's the first thing that everyone should do.
You should, but people don't. Right. So you go to the email address and then it's
sending a thing on behalf of Ram Couriers.
Yeah, sure. It's totally legit. This guy works for, he's just a subcontractor.
Yeah.
You know, and he desperately needs that 233 Rand.
That to get your parcel. It's only 25 bucks. That's what you need to.
Yeah. Because you go in, so what they do apparently is you go in and then you put in your credit card details. But most people don't check that either. Then when it goes through, instead of 253 Rand, it's 2,530 Rand. And most people are just like, they don't see where the decimal point is.
Ah.
And then they'll come back and do it again. They'll say, oh no, we got to refund you because we made a mistake. And then people are, oh, well, that's totally legit. And then
there's the other one that they do that's quite smart is they phone you and they say we're phoning from the bank.
Oh yeah.
I know smart people who've fallen for this. And we're phoning from the bank.
Uh-huh.
This is your ID number. This is your card number. Now I just want to make sure it's you. So we're gonna send you a one-time PIN just so we can confirm. Because there's been suspicious activity on your account.
Oh,
and we
shit.
Need to stop it, but we need to make sure we're speaking to the right guy. Then you'll get a one-time PIN from the bank because obviously they're doing something on your account.
So it's an inside thing.
And then you say the one-time PIN is 4612, and then
they clean you out.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's hey.
And the worst part of that is the bank won't pay you back necessarily.
No, because you gave them the one-time PIN.
Because you gave the one-time PIN, and they don't have anything to do with it technically.
Yeah.
But that's got to be inside of people, because otherwise, how would they generate the one time?
I mean, this is South Africa. Like, we've got some fantastic entrepreneurial spirit.
if you want to call it that, we're good thieves.
Think about how smart these people are to think of this cock. So, like, I got a phone call from one of the cell phone providers going, "You didn't buy $5,000 worth of airtime, did you?" And I went, "No." And they were like, "Okay, basically, there's a contract taken out in your name." And
shit. How long ago did this happen?
This is about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then they took a chance by putting $5,000 on my credit card or something. I can't remember exactly
how
they did it.
Was that moment worse for you than the cancer?
No. No, but so I had to, what irritated me now was I had to go into one of their stands.
Yeah.
Stores. And then I said to them, "How did you take out a contract in my name?" And they said, basically what they do is they've got a person who works in the bank, right? And that person gets your details.
Right.
And then they've got another person who works, in this case, it was Edenvale Hospital. And then they listed my employer as Edenvale Hospital. And then when the person from the cell phone provider phones and says, "Does Chris work here?" They say, "Yeah, Chris works here at Edenvale Hospital." Give them the contract. And all they want is the device. So there's a whole like network just to get, and then so what they really wanted was the phone, the $5,000 worth of airtime. They were just taking a chance.
It relies on quite a lot of people, so it's actually a bit of a house of cards. The fact that they pull it off is quite incredible.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Entrepreneurial spirit. Like if they did that with a legit business, they'd probably be successful humans.
Yeah, I'm still thinking that this was maybe in some way worse for you than the cancer. The cancer scare, the fact that you've had it taken out is great, and I'm sure you're thrilled and very relieved. But this can happen to just about anyone. I mean, like you don't think about, you know, a little mole that grows a bit more.
But that's the thing. It was very unexpected.
Most people don't observe themselves that closely, right? You live in your body, but you don't actually pay attention most of the time.
In my case, it was...
You couldn't miss it.
I can show you if you want to see the thing.
Oh, you got a big hole in your head.
Well, I've got a plaster on it still.
You're lucky this isn't like the medieval times, because they would have put a coin on there.
Just two.
Yeah, they would have put a coin on and then sort of sutured it in with...
I think if it was medieval times, I would have died.
Yeah, probably.
I'm
glad I'm very glad you're not in medieval times.
Yeah, me too. Well, you know, what was the average life expectancy then? I think we would also be... We'd be old men then.
Yeah, we would. Yeah, 60 was like ancient.
Yeah. So... Glad we're not in medieval times also, because...
Although in ancient Rome, you could only take serious office. You could only become a consul, for example, at 40. So 40 was considered... And the Romans, interesting that you know, I'll take any opportunity to talk about history, but the Romans didn't hate age and maturity at all like we do today. We worship youth. You know, most people want to be young. They're embarrassed by being old. Old people are smelly and need to be put into homes, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
In those days.
To get chlamydia, yeah.
Like Romans would never have themselves sculpted. They would never have a bust made of themselves unless they were in their 50s. And then you wanted to look as gnarled and old as possible, because that gave you gravitas. It gave you presence.
You were seriousness.
Oman. Yeah, you were a serious person.
There were strange people, though. They used to...
Oh, they did some very weird
social
things.
Thing was, but I mean, it's was interesting. To sit and have a crap together and then use the same brush.
Of course. No, sponge on a stick.
Yeah, that's when... Well,
it's gross. Revolting.
You shared that thing.
But I mean, you look at some of the things we do now and people would think that was very, very strange. Some of the things we eat, some of the places we go. Like, why would people listen to DJs? This is always... I'm telling you, in the future... People are going to go, "What's that?"
But dude, I mean, it's not the future. Like,
they're already thinking, "What was that?"
Like, but
these are not the people who write
the youth
music
of today, like Spotify or Apple Music or whatever. But with the exception of like, if you want to stay in touch and then you listen to the talk radio, or whatever. And like, I listen to I'm going to talk about your former employers. I listen to 5FM, and my kids like it. But I can actually feel my IQ dropping listening to the people who host those shows.
I'd rather share a sponge stick for wiping my ass than listen to radio ever again. I really, that you deserve that. If you let your children dictate what you should listen to, you should say, no, you listen to me, little fuckers. I'm going to give you, here's my favorite podcast on biochemistry for the next hour on the way to school.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, because I was just the one that comes to mind, there was like, you know how radio works. There was about five links where all they spoke about was putting a new safety cover on the cell phone. And like, they were busy. I was like, is this your content? Well, is this the level?
I don't want to stand up for these people because I do believe they're very low IQ and that they honestly, especially if they're working for
your former employers.
For an SABC station, I think it's like it's taxpayers' money. You have a responsibility to not be on the take there. And anyway, I mean, I'm saying this as someone who's hurt because I stupidly paid my TV license the other day. Terrible mistake. Don't ever do that. I did it, and now I'm feeling very remorseful. Point is, with radio,
was it worse than the cancer?
Yes. Was it worse? It was worse than my non-cancer. The point is that these guys have a very tough remit because they're actually not meant to be too interesting. If you're too interesting, you'll draw attention from the bosses or from audience that will actually disagree or agree with you. God forbid. Like, you've got to be as blancmange, as fucking ordinary and average as you could possibly be. Because if you draw too much attention, your job is in jeopardy.
Why is it in jeopardy?
Because they don't actually want to wildly succeed. To wildly succeed, you would have to be a real person with real opinions. You'd have to stand for those opinions. You'd have to research those opinions. You'd have to actually back them up because your audience are clever. Like, if I say a dumb thing on this show, there's going to be all hell to pay in the comments.
Right.
Those people are going to tear me a new asshole on my back before I've even got to 7 o'clock. And I like that. I mean, I'll admit that I like the fact that they're not going to let me get away with nonsense. But a radio audience, it's mostly passive listening. You got a lot of songs. Your real job there is just to facilitate.
Right.
So you can make a personality and a name for yourself, but it's very dangerous. And most of these people just want quiet, safe employment. It's a way better proposition. Keep earning the money.
Yeah.
Go to work.
Fair enough. But I mean, you're also
there for 3 hours. It's a good job.
Provide real entertainment.
Why would you want to do that?
I'm going to blow your trumpet now. So you might want to turn the camera off. No, kidding. So I remember tuning in every morning. You used to do a phone call segment.
Yeah, just take
and it was hilarious. Calls, yeah. It was like great content. And half the time you just hang up on the people because they were stupid.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, you can't do that. Like, see, now if you tried to do that, first of all, people are used to commenting because of social media.
I suppose
so. They've got another outlet where they can actually say they're saying you can't cut them off. So that whole idea that radio was this, I remember thinking there are 100,000, 3 million, 6 million people listening. Let's say 100,000.
Depending on whether you're speaking to the advertisers or renewing your contract.
One person is getting through. Now it's their responsibility to entertain the other 99,999. And invariably, they're going to be terrible at it. Because this, that, oh, how's it? How are you? It's my first time on radio. Can I say happy birthday to my chick? She just turned 20.
She's not listening.
I love you, babe. You know, it's going to be horrible. It's just going to be really bad. And now people have social media. They don't get that. But if you did that on radio now, it just wouldn't work. It wouldn't have the same effect.
Because people feel they have to comment now. I think that's one of the things I hate about social media. You don't have to comment. Just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But also, like, one of the things that cracks me up is
the DJs, if they comment, see, really, you're there to play music, play the commercials,
but
host a competition. This is the other thing that drives me crazy, is that someone is paying for you to do a, you know, 20 grand giveaway, which everybody who doesn't win fucking hates. They're not interested in it.
Like, only 5 people enter and they win every year.
Exactly. It's the same people.
But what cracks me up as well is when people, Not necessarily on the station we're talking about, but on the community ones, they phone in and they're like, can I request a song?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You can go on
Apple. There's the internet now.
There's Apple Music, there's Spotify, there's YouTube.
If you want to listen to Metallica,
this was always my point with radio. It's like, just buy the music. Even in those days, we had to go to the shop and get the CD. Like, how fucking skinflint are you that you must call into me, take the chance of being in line with a thousand other people so you could hear a song? It's just antiquated.
That you've heard before.
When I hear this stuff now, I just think it feels like 1997. You can't still be doing these things now, and they are. It's terrible. It's
kids today, hey?
No, it's just very sad to me that nothing's evolved there. It hasn't got better.
See,
that's even my microphone. Even my microphone agrees. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Chris Forrest is here with us. We'll get back in a minute. Chris Forrest, look,
Forrest, there we go.
There's a forest on my.
Oh,
I didn't prepare that. That's just the screensaver.
You've never heard that one before.
I prefer that one to run, Forrest, run.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because yours is spelled
two R's.
That's like, yeah, it's like Forrest Gump. Shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now, well, Jenny, I got cancer on my ear.
That was worse. That was worse for me than the cancer.
What? You must choose that in your. You must choose that in the next one. Just keep going back to that. Yeah, and that was also worse than the cancer. The audience will sympathize. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Don't go anywhere.